This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa nusalli wa nusallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amin. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu and brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless you all and reward you for your diligence in coming to all of these talks in these programs. I ask Allah that you were uplifted by everything that you've been hearing and you have got greater vision in how to move forward, inshallah, with your families, bi'idhnillah. So what we're going to be speaking about today is about, you know, how to raise our children to have a strong identity. This is what everyone's concerned about these days. Everyone's very, very concerned about this. You know, one of the biggest fears most parents have now, you know, is that during this, in this time we're living in, how do I protect my child from, you know, all of the deviated lifestyles and agendas that we're currently surrounded with? You know, how can I raise my child with a strong identity in Islam? All of these, this is the fears that many parents have. And I just want to come back a bit here, and I just want to also let us just realize something, and that is that we have to realize that the risk of children becoming deviated has actually always been there. Like if you go back, say, 20, 30 years ago, there's always been that risk of your child, for example, leaving Islam. May Allah protect all of our children and grandchildren, offspring. There's always been the risk that your child could fall into major sins. You know, like, may Allah protect us, like zina, like, you know, getting addicted to drugs, things like this. You know, the list goes on, right? It's just that what's happening now is that with the pressure of many of the agendas that we're currently facing, many parents are actually finally waking up and realizing just how dangerous things can get if we don't give enough priority to the way we raise our children. Like, I'll never forget myself when it first, you know, when it came to the time for me to enter my son into school, the first day of school, you know, I was so worried about how is he going to be influenced by others? How am I going to protect him from, you know, becoming deviated away from the straight path? All of these fears were in my mind, right? You're worried about what he's going to be exposed to. But subhanAllah, my dear sisters and brothers, you know, from the immense blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all of those worries, and, you know, of course, after making a great deal of sincere effort, you know, for both my husband and I, you know, putting a lot of, you know, dua and effort, you know, inshallah, into raising our kids, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did help us raise, you know, our five children, alhamdulillah, who they're pretty much all adults now. And he protected them, you know, and I ask Allah that he does the same for you. And that's why I'm here, to share, because we need to be speaking to those who've done it and ask them for advice about how can I also, inshallah, raise my children to be resilient despite whatever negative pressures we're facing, right? So I'm just going to basically share with you six main advices. They're just general advices. But for example, number one is to simply have that sincere niyyah, right? Start with your niyyah. Start with, you know, having al-ikhlas in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a child, because it's a thing you don't, like a lot of people don't even think of that. That is a blessing from Allah. If you're blessed with children, that is a blessing from Allah. And Allah's going to, you know, he's going to test you to see if you appreciate that blessing or not, right? And so your first and foremost goal in raising your child should be to raise that child to be upon their deen and to be righteous. And it sounds simple in the beginning, but you've got to keep reminding yourself of this objective all the way through as a parent. Because what does Allah tell us in the Quran? إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. that verily in your wealth and in your children, there is a trial for you, because you will be tested. You know, you've got emotions towards your child, and there'll be certain times where you might be tested, you know, with your child, because sometimes, you know, people get very focused on, you know, what career they want their child to go into and all of these things, and they lose sight of their ultimate goal in raising their children, which is simply to be a righteous, you know, child that can make dua for them when they leave this life. So we are living in a time now when we cannot afford to be fully focused on, you know, on giving our children the proper Islamic tarbiyah. This is what we need to be really focused on doing. And you need to be pre-thinking everything you introduce to your children. Like, so, like, for example, everything that you introduce to your children, like if we're talking about a phone, for example, like you can't, like, you know, you're talking about giving your child a phone that has 4G, and say the child's in kindergarten, what can they access with that phone? And don't underestimate what a 6-year-old and 7-year-old can even access on a phone. So we have to be thinking about everything we introduce our children to, about what impact is it going to have in the long run. So this is why, especially in the child rearing years, you need to make your children your number one priority, and don't let yourself get so busy with your, you know, your own personal individual pursuits or your work, even if it's work you're doing for the community, that you end up neglecting this most important priority. Okay, this has to be our first and foremost priority if we hope to gain, you know, we hope to raise our children to be, you know, resilient, inshallah, in the future. Because let me tell you that if you do neglect your children, it can lead to you having, it can lead to you to suffer a lot of pain and regret further, you know, further down the track. And any extra money you made during that time, believe me, it will never be able to comfort you for the pain of seeing your child go astray. May Allah protect us all from that happening. And this is why Allah calls us in the Quran to pay attention to our priorities, right? If you look at the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, right? O you who believe, save yourselves and your children from the fire. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that, you know, this should be our first and foremost priority before anything else. Making sure that you're not in a compromised position regarding your deen. Similarly, your children, you need to be always following up and making sure that they are safe in the way they're going in their deen as well, right? And unfortunately, in this time of capitalism, you know, consumerism, you can see that so many people are overly concerned in fulfilling all of their child's dunya and materialistic needs. But unfortunately, a lot of them, we can see what's happening is that they are neglecting the most important, you know, the most important thing that their child needs, which is giving them the education of their deen and the understanding of their deen, right? I mean, so, you know, like you have to realize what you are imparting to your children through your Islamic tarbiyah now, that is going to help them to be resilient against all the waves of fitna they're going to be facing as they grow older. You can't be sheltering them forever. This is what you have to realize. You cannot be sheltering them forever. Slowly, they're going to be exposed to society. They need to be, you know, resilient enough to face that. And this is why, you know, if you look at, there's an ayah in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْلَاقٍ. You know, do not kill your child due to poverty. But subhanAllah, we don't realize that if you fail to give your child an adequate foundation in Islam, this is a form of killing your child spiritually, which is really the worst type of, you know, subhanAllah, the worst type of deprivation that you could, you know, give to a child, right? Look, I just want to say this, and it's very important to look in the long term, right? You would not believe that one of the most common questions I get are from people saying to me, can you speak to my daughter? You know, can you speak to my daughter for me? But then when we go into the history, I'm not saying everyone, some people tried their best, and we know qadrullah ma shaa fa'al, right? We know that Allah, whatever Allah wrote, happened, and whatever he willed happened, right? But in a lot of cases, in the vast majority of cases, if you ask these people when they tell you about, can you speak to my daughter, if you go into it, you find that, were you living near a Muslim community? No, I was not. Did you take them to the masjid? No, I did not. Like, I didn't teach them salah. I didn't teach them Quran. All of these things, subhanAllah, wasn't present. The Islamic tarbiyah wasn't there. And then, unfortunately, sadly, now they want you to talk to them when it's too late. And it's very difficult. It's never too late, inshallah, but it's very difficult to try to speak to someone when they've already gone so far in a certain direction. So what I'm trying to say to you is just the most important thing, bi-idhnillah, as long as you keep your niyyah, right? Keep that intention, hold on to that intention all the way through with when you're raising your children, inshallah. Don't lose sight of your ultimate intention. Then number two, you need to focus on helping your child to become motivated from within. That's very, very important. We want them to be internally motivated, because a lot of people try to, you know, get their child to, you know, you need to make them want to do things from themselves, okay? You need to make them want to do things from themselves, because ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to grow up, they're going to go to uni, they're going to go to work, they need to be strong enough within themselves to be able to stay resilient and hold on to their Islamic principles and morals. Now, the main way to do that is you have to focus, especially in those, you know, those years from 5 to 7, they are really the crucial years of a child's, you know, nurturing. You want to be nurturing their hearts upon iman, okay? And what I mean by that is developing very positive, you know, emotions and positive relationship and connection towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever's in al-Islam. Just a quick and brief example of that is, for example, imagine a mother, for example, rocking her child to bed every single night and reciting Ayat al-Kursi, for example. You know, and subhanAllah, imagine how that child feels, that the love of the mother, in it, you know, and the association of reciting Ayat al-Kursi with the mother's voice and going to sleep and the cuddles. Like, just what kind of positive emotion is being given to the child through that, for example, right? So, you know, so when we teach the Quran, like, of course we want our kids to learn the Quran. The Quran is definitely something that protects our children, and that's actually one of the reasons that motivated me to want my children to memorize the Quran. Because, for example, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, "Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam." That this Quran guides to what is aright. Like, it gives you, it's like, subhanAllah, it is your GPS. It is your GPS in this life, right? And that's, you need to be with the Quran consistently. But what you have to understand is when you put the Quran in their heart with explanation, okay, with the explanation of those words, this is what helps them to be able to, like, you know, the Quran in their heart, it's, you know, subhanAllah, the Quran is full of aqidah. The Quran is full of Islamic belief. And the Quran gives you it's the criterion that helps you decipher or to distinguish between the haqq and the batil, between the truth and the falsehood. This is why the Quran is so powerful for us for the children to absorb that into their hearts, right? And we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that a time will come when holding on to our deen is going to be more difficult than holding on to a hot coal. And that's why you have to realize he didn't leave us without something so powerful for us to use in order to protect ourselves and our families. And what is that powerful tool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us? It is actually the Quran, which unfortunately a lot of us haven't got to a deeper level with the Quran to understand what the Quran does for you when it's an integral part of your life and days. Right? When you try to live by the Quran, not just recite the Quran, but even live by it. Try to implement it in your life, right? So realize, my dear sisters and brothers, that, you know, the Quran is actually the antidote for all of the fitna that we face. Even with all the agendas we face, let me give you an example of what you can, like, one of the things you can do as parents. For example, like, I remember when, for example, my kids were going through puberty, and you want them to understand puberty, right? Do you leave it to the school to explain to them about puberty? Or do you go to, you know, the second chapter of Surah Al-Baqarah and go through the ayat that talk about you know, the changes that happen to a woman, for example? Or do you go to Sut Yusuf that teaches, like, for example, about chastity that you have to have as a teenager and a youth? So this is, we need to be thinking about how to use the Quran to lay down the Islamic narrative in the minds of our children before, rather than to leave your child empty and let someone else come and put that narrative in their minds, right? Which we know that Allah Mustaan, some of those narratives are very obviously, you know, completely un-Islamic, right? So this is what you have to be doing. And that, the problem is that, unfortunately, as we all know, we tend to only read the Quran once a year, so we don't appreciate what the Quran has to give to us, subhanAllah. So we need to come closer to the Quran. What I'm saying to you is we're living in a time where none of us can afford to be away from the Quran. None of us. We need to bring the Quran and make it an integral part of our families and lives, inshallah. Besides that, try to find materials to strengthen your child's identity. Now, when my kids were growing up, we had like Islamic cartoons. There was actually Arabic cartoons they used to watch that had lots of morals and akhlaq in them. Lots of, you know, teaching of character, teaching of Islamic, you know what I'm trying to say? Islamic morals, Islamic character, manners, all of these things. We need the visual is very powerful. Visual tools are very, very powerful, okay? And even the stories that you say, you know, tell your children the stories. Like I tell sisters, read the stories yourself first. Read the stories of the prophets, peace be upon them, first. Then put it into your own words to your child. Trust me, your child will enjoy it so much more when you put it into your own words. Now, the other thing I just want to mention here, which is very important, is that don't go to the, like, what happens is because people are so worried about what's happening, the changes and all of those things in society, what can happen is that some people can end up going to the opposite extreme of becoming over strict and over rigid in your tarbiyah of your children as like a knee-jerk reaction to the fear that they feel due to these current agendas, okay? Now, you have to be very careful about that. You have to be very careful from taking a very rigid approach with your children. Unfortunately, I wish I didn't have to say this, but I have seen cases where people were overly rigid in their tarbiyah, overly strict, overly harsh and punishing, you know what I'm trying to say, in their tarbiyah, which that ended up pushing their children away. Like, some of them even just lost their faith in the end, mal protector. So we have to be very careful not to overreact. That's what I'm trying to say. Remember that, like, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? He tells us that inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zanahu wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shanahu. That you won't find gentleness in anything except it beautifies it. And you won't find that the absence of gentleness in something except it makes it ugly. Now, you want Islam to be the most beautiful thing to your child. In order for you to do that, you have to show them a beautiful experience of Islam in your upbringing with them. And this is also to brothers, like, I know I'm standing here from the sisters, but this is so important for both, for both the mother and the father to be paying attention to this. It cannot be one or the other. You know, it's even our relationship with each other as husbands and wives. We've got to think about what are we actually... You can say whatever you want to your children, my dear sisters and brothers, but ultimately it's how you practice your Islam in the house, how you treat each other in the house, how you treat your children. That's what says everything. And that's why it's very important to pay attention to this. So what I'm saying is, yes, you have to be aware of, you know, any threats to your tarbiyah, to your children and all of these things, but don't let your fear cause you to overreact and so you end up completely turning your children off Islam, may Allah protect us. So what I'm saying is focus on developing positive connections to Islam. Like, there's a beautiful statement that's attributed to one of the Salaf where he said, لَعِبُوهُمْ لِسَبَعَ وَأَدِّبُوهُمْ لِسَبَعَ وَصَاحِبُوهُمْ لِسَبَعَ. And it's a very good advice because he says basically play with them and be, you know, loving and all of those things for 7 years. Then for 7 years, That's when you train them. You teach them, you know, properly training them about Salah and all of those things. And then be their friend for the next seven. Be their friend. Become their friend. Become their best friend. Okay, so this is what I want you to take into consideration, inshallah. You know, as I said, the most important thing is just keep focusing on how you want to make them internally motivated to love Islam and want to do things from themselves. Now, the third thing is you need to be an example yourself. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, right? But if you show how sincerely you're trying in your Islam, that sincerity will also be like practiced by your child. Like they will take that from you. Okay, so, but what's important is to follow up what you say with your actions. Right? Like, what does Allah say in the Quran? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Oh, you who believe, why do you say what you don't do? Kabara maqtan indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. It's most hated in the sight of Allah that you say what you don't do. And subhanAllah, like any experienced parent can tell you that what you do is far more powerful than what you say. So you are actually, to your child, you are showing them what is the meaning of Islam. And you can tell them day in and day out, pray your prayers on time, get up for Fajr on time and all those things. But if they don't see you doing it yourself, they're not going to be acting upon that themselves. So you need to be a leader. You need to be a leader. We have to all be leaders for our children in showing them the example of how to implement Islam. And this is how, subhanAllah, I have personally found children can really improve you so much, because you know that they're watching every single word you say, every action you make. So you start trying to fix yourself up because you're worried that they're going to copy off the bad things you do, because we've all got, you know, bad habits and things we do wrong. And so we don't want to take the sin for something bad that we do. It's bad enough that we've got that ourselves, but let alone our children follow on and do the same thing, right? But generally speaking, you need to be a leader for your children, and that includes also showing your pride for your religion, having izzah for your religion, you know, having honor for your religion, so that if you're outside, you're not embarrassed to pray if you need to pray. You're not embarrassed to wear your hijab with pride, right? If Islam is defended, you will speak up. You will have a voice. You will say something. You will show you're confident in your da'wah. When you show that confidence, when you show that you are, alhamdulillah, you know, you've got that confidence from your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your children also will gain that confidence from you as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this is where I always encourage parents that really in this time, we have to all be on some type of journey of knowledge. We need to be on some type of journey of knowledge, because that's what actually makes you very firm in your faith. And also you need to be an authority for your children. You need to be their authority. So that when they come and ask you, Mom, Dad, why did this kid say this to me about Islam? You can answer with confidence. You understand? It's very important. We need to be their first reference as much as possible. Also, very, very important, you want your children to be resilient in Islam? Have a look at your household. Does your household reflect an Islamic environment? You know, what is in your house? Like, if your child walks in your house, do they feel a sense that there's like sakina in that house? There's like tranquility, there's malaika in this house? You know what I mean? Because subhanAllah, like the Muslim house, I can tell you that sometimes you have someone come to your house and they might want to convert to Islam, for example. And they walk in and they feel like they feel something different. Like, for example, we don't have all these pictures and statues around our house. You know, we haven't got all this music blaring out of our house. We haven't got agila. We haven't got vapes. You know what I'm trying to say, sisters and brothers? Like, your house, your child can distinguish the difference between the Islamic lifestyle and the un-Islamic lifestyle based upon when they walk inside their house. So this is very important. Have a look at, you know, what we're bringing into the house. And realize that, you know, the hearts get corrupted by fitna. The hearts get corrupted by those things that, you know, subhanAllah, are like corruption and, you know, sins and things like this, this does corrupt the young heart. The young heart was born on fitrah. But if we expose them to things that's opposite to that fitrah, that's how they slowly become corrupted and desensitized. All right, so besides that, very important as well is maintaining a strong emotional connection with your child. So besides everything I've spoken about, right, it's so important you maintain a strong emotional connection with your child. And that's why it's so important that you'll be close to your children. Look, it's not like in the past. In the past, they had the village, as they say. You know, they had the village. Like, it wasn't just you. You had, you know, if you were living in, say, Indonesia, for example, you would have had all the aunties and aunties and the neighbours, and they were all playing together and they were safe. But now, you know, what our situation, generally speaking, in Australia is basically it's just you as a mum and the dad and the kids, and they're just by themselves in this house, right? So they don't have a lot of people to connect to keep them, to get that emotional connection. So the reality is that we have to provide, like, we have to be extra, you know, connected to our children in this environment, okay? Otherwise, what happens is they're going to look for those emotional connections elsewhere, all right? Now, this is what actually happens a lot of the time, unfortunately. Sometimes people come to me and say, you know, my daughter is refusing to pray, for example, or to, you know, wear hijab or something like this. But a lot of the time what you find is, and this is not to blame, but this is just something to think about, okay? Sometimes we need to reflect upon how is our actual relationship with this child. Because if it's not a good relationship, if we're not getting along well with our daughter, for example, or our son, even our son, because when you're always arguing and you're always having fights about everything, this damages the relationship, and this is what makes them turn away and start going off in their own direction. This is why I do advise parents, and be sincere in this, because your ultimate goal is you want to get your children to get through their life safely and to be raised to be, you know, upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, right, my dear sisters and brothers? You have to be sincere and be prepared to seek outside help. Like I'm talking about, we have good Muslim psychologists and counselors now that can give you better techniques in conflict management, for example, you know, navigating conflict, how to, you know, speak to your child in a better way, a more constructive way that could take away some of the conflict that's happening between you. All right? So look to these resources in order to improve your relationship with your child. Moving on, because if I had a longer time, I would have told you a lot more, but obviously I'm very restricted for time. But another very important point, obviously, really, and this especially in the teenage years. So the early years, it's okay. It's all about what you're doing as parents. But then as you come to the teenage years, this is where you're going to see the importance of community and the environment. And I just want to say that although we can always find, you know, something to criticize, but ultimately, let me just say this, we actually have one of the best communities here in Sydney, right? And as your children get older, that's when you kind of come to appreciate what we have. It's not perfect, no, but it's, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of infrastructure now that we did not have in the past. And you're going to, that's when you're going to start appreciating the infrastructure that we have. And this is why it is so important that we take our kids to the masjid for prayers. This is how they build up relationships with other people in the masjid. We need to take them to halaqat, events, like what you're doing here. You know what I'm trying to say? Because when my kids grew up, I can tell you right now, they have so many aunties and uncles in the community. Like, I'm a revert. I didn't really have, you know, I obviously didn't have the Islamic family around me, but I had my community. And so my kids had an Indonesian auntie. They had, like, you know, a Chinese auntie. You know, they had all different nationalities, and they were their aunties, and they still feel like their aunties until today, or their uncles, you know, the brothers for my sons, the masjid, you know, brothers that cared about them. Like, I remember when one of my sons, mashallah, he finished memorizing Juzamma, one of the brothers at the masjid made a special cake for him, subhanallah. You know what I'm trying to say, sisters and brothers? This is what we miss if we're away from the Muslim community. There is so much barakah and blessing by being close to the Muslim community, and also, you know, so stay, you know, and always try to get your family to places where they're going to experience the Islamic environment. Lastly, obviously, we have to seek constant help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You can have the best tarbiyah in the whole world. You could read every tarbiyah book out there. Every child positive parenting, you know, book out there you could read, which, by the way, positive parenting is a very good, those kind of books are very beneficial. You can take the good out of those, inshallah, for your, you know, for helping you. But ultimately, we have to understand, well, like Allah says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Like, my success is only through Allah Azza wa Jal. And one of the du'as you should be saying, inshallah, always, especially in your sajda, especially in your prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا هَبَلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Ya Allah, bestow upon us spouses and offspring who are the happiness and coolness of our eyes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us from the leaders for the muttaqeen and those who have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If you always say that in your dua, inshallah, especially in your sajda, that also, besides asking Allah, it's keeping your focus on what you need to be always aiming to do in every decision you make with your kids. Finally, in wrapping up, my dear sisters and brothers, realize that whatever is happening right now is all part of the plan of Allah. It's whatever's happening, even it seems very bad to us, it's still only happening as part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know what khayr can come from it. But one thing that I'm already seeing personally is people are waking up and realizing they can no longer be complacent about raising their kids like they used to. And to be honest, when I look at the upcoming generation, I actually believe that people now are raising their kids, you know, subhanAllah, far more on the Quran. They're more concerned about teaching the Quran, teaching them, you know, sending them to Islamic studies or schools than ever before. So this is, mashallah, like that, as Allah says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ. You might dislike something and you don't know what khayr can come out of it, subhanAllah. So my final message is remain vigilant. Remain vigilant, but don't lose hope. Don't lose hope with Allah. And bi'idhnillah, with sincerity, with ikhlas, with a lot of dua and sincere efforts, of course, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, first and foremost, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you will be successful. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to gather us all in the highest levels of Jannah with our children and all of our offspring. And may Allah make all of us and all of our offspring to be leaders from amongst al-muttaqeen. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم.